Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the next two lessons, we want to discuss a question that is often asked of members of the Lord's Church. Now, doubtless, there are times when people ask questions that actually they only seek to criticize and to find fault, and maybe even to ridicule the truth. But we believe that there are those who sometimes ask questions honestly and sincerely. Well, whatever may be the motive behind this question, if it's answered at all, it must be answered according to the Scriptures. I hope you would agree with that. Certainly this is true regarding the question, must one be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? Now, this answer springs from sometimes from a prejudice on the part of people, pro and con, and that will not suffice. The standard of answer must be, thus saith the Lord. Now, some people sometimes are heard to say, well, they like various members of the Church of Christ. They count them as friends. But they just simply cannot accept the idea that one must be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved. Well, the question intimidates some brethren because they feel it is a very delicate one, and they don't wish to offend anyone with their answer. But delicate or not, it really is not a matter that difficult to answer, provided, and this is the big condition, provided we stay with the Bible. And I'm urging you, as you listen, let's stay with the Bible. We want to answer this question completely. We want to do it kindly. And we want to do it biblically and with a certain sound that becomes the doctrine of Christ. Anything less than that is no answer at all that would be worth hearing. Now, members of the Church of Christ, as we speak generally of them, they recognize that there are always individual exceptions in every generalized comment. We do not consider ourselves necessarily better morally than many other religious people. Now, I think we all would agree that Christians should be moral. The moral decline of our nation is disturbing to true Christians. One cannot be a follower of Christ and practice immorality with God's approval. But there are moral people in almost every religious group. Especially is this true among those religions that like to call themselves Christian. But we do not want to be found condemning the good that's in anybody. That's not the purpose. Furthermore, let us state very clearly that if God wants to save everybody, even all of the wicked, and save everybody unconditionally, why, that's no problem with us. Let it be so. God's will ought to always rule superior in our thinking. However, believing the Bible to be true, we do not believe that there's a chance that that's going to happen. But we do not hate other people with whom we differ. We seek the salvation of all people. We do not despise those with whom we have differences, even great differences. We cannot hate another person and be a follower of Christ. We can hate error, however. We can hate evil. We don't hate people. We want people to be saved. We want to understand, however, what is the Word of God, and desire the same thing for people everywhere. And God forgive us if this is not true. Now, one source of difficulty in answering this question, must one be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved, stems from the fact that when members of the Church of Christ speak of the church, we mean something very different from what is generally understood in the minds of those of the denominational world. You ask your neighbor, you ask people round about if they belong to some church. To what church do you belong? They would almost inevitably, if they're not members of the Church of Christ, talk about some denomination. But those who are members of the Church of Christ, we do not have in mind any denomination whatsoever. We're not the Church of Christ denomination. Friend, if a religious party is a denomination, it's not the Church of Christ. If it is the Church of Christ, it's not a denomination. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about denominations. There's no kinship between the church that the Bible talks about and denominationalism. Now, we disclaim any denominational designation. In fact, we're opposed to the existence of denominations. The reason for this is very simple. Now, hear this, friend. The Bible never speaks and it never authorizes denominations. We admit that one does not have to be a member of a denomination, any denomination, to be saved. In fact, if you ask most people who are members of denominations, do you have to be a member of your denomination to be saved? Nearly everyone, has been my experience in asking them, no, you do not. And we wonder, if you can be saved outside of that denomination, what's the value of it? We agree that one denomination is just as good as another. But you see, members of the churches of Christ, when they speak of the church, we're talking about the church that the Bible reveals. And that has no relationship to the denominational world. Those who believe denominationalism has God's blessings and God's approval, are you not obligated to produce the scripture that to show that God teaches denominationalism, that God approves denominationalism? We contend before you, there's not one single word in all the pages of the Bible that would authorize and justify denominations. Now, when we say Church of Christ, we mean the Kingdom of God, the Body of Christ, the Family of God, other such biblical designations that identify the Church that's revealed in the Bible. Now, this is how the New Testament speaks of the Church. Why should men take upon themselves to speak of the Church in ways that, well, they're just not found in the oracles of God? Do you not remember the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God? Should we not, when we speak of the church, speak as the oracles of God? Now, if we're going to speak according to the creeds and the catechisms and the manuals and so forth of men, well, you're going to come up with something different from the church of the Bible. But when we speak like the oracles of God, we should identify the church like the oracles of God identify it. The church of the Lord. It's an army of the Lord. And those who are Christians, they're like soldiers in the Lord's army. You see, the church is the company of the saved of the earth. The Lord added the saved to the church. That's what the church is, people who are the saved. Now, this is all we mean by the phrase church of Christ. It is a possessive phrase. It shows to whom the church belongs. Christ died for it. He purchased it with his own blood. He's the savior of it. He's the head of it. He's the foundation of it. He's the cornerstone of it. He built it. It's indeed his. It's the church that is of Christ. And this is what Paul is saying when he wrote to the Romans, the churches of Christ salute you. You know, sometimes people say, well, the church doesn't matter. The church is not important. One church is just as good as another. I dare you, friend, to say that to Jesus Christ. He died for it. Did Christ die for something that doesn't matter? He's the head of it. Is he the head of something that doesn't matter? He's the savior of it. Is he the savior of something that doesn't matter? Now, we often read of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the heaven being the ultimate destiny of the church. These are phrases that show the kingdom is from heaven and belongs to God. It's the same as the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom and the church are one and the same. In the New Testament, those in the church had been translated into the kingdom. How could they be translated into something that some say doesn't exist yet? John was in the kingdom. How could he be if Christ hasn't established that kingdom yet? My dear friend, when the Bible uses the term church and kingdom, as Jesus used it in Matthew 16, he used it interchangeably. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he said he would give to the apostles the keys of the kingdom. You know, our Lord is not nonsensical. It would have been ridiculous for him to build one thing and then give the apostles keys to something else. Jesus taught that the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. To plant the church, you teach the word of God. Now, to plant a denomination, like I have said, you have to refer to their manual, or their discipline, or their catechism, or their prayer book, or something of that nature. But if you want the church that belongs to Christ, you go to the seed of the kingdom. Surely we would have to accept that any Bible believer that would contend that one can be saved outside of the kingdom of God, how wrong he is. There are two spiritual kingdoms, the devil's kingdom and the Lord's kingdom. Those who are in the Lord's kingdom are the ones that are going to be saved. And these are the things that we are talking about when we talk about the church of Christ. You see, the Lord owns it. It's his. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's not a denomination of the origin of men. Do you realize, and this is a historical fact, that the Lord's church existed hundreds of years before any denomination appeared on the history of man? Hundreds of years. The church of the Bible, that's not composed of denominations. So when you ask the question, must one be a member of the church of Christ to be saved? We're simply saying, one must be a member of that which the Bible reveals. And when it is revealed in the Bible, this is that we uphold. This is that to which we belong. This is the only thing that we're going to defend. Denominationalism has a problem with thus saith the Lord, because in spite of all of their clergymen, their theologians, and all of their manuals and etc., they don't find one single word in the Bible about their denomination. But friend, you do read about the church that belongs to Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.